How do we find real masculinity with Jesus hanging on a cross? The Issues Etc. book of the month for April is titled Man Up, The Quest for Masculinity. It's written by regular guest Pastor Jeff Hemmer. You can find out more at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. Men in all stages of life will appreciate Man Up. The Issues Etc. book of the month, Man Up, 1-800-325-3040.
It's very dangerous for Armenians right now.
This is our opportunity. We will restore the great Ottoman Empire.
We cannot be here. We must leave.
What is the Associated Press doing here, Mr. Myers?
Reporting on the war.
There is no war here. Merely the evacuation of the civilian population to a safer region.
You are using this so-called relocation as a cover.
You trust no one.
I have to get us out of here before there's no time left.
He wants us to help his family escape. We have to help them.
To history.
How wonderful it must be to go back to the comfort of your American home and write about it.
We will make a stand, but we'll fight them from every rock.
Our revenge will be to survive.
That's the trailer for the movie The Promise. It's a love story set within the context of the 1915 Armenian genocide, a contrast there, if you would. And it's a film that's been much hailed before its release. And our reviewer for this first half hour of Issues Etc. says it's a timely movie as well. We'll be reviewing The Promise with Pastor Ted Giese. I'm Todd Wilkin. Welcome to Issues Etc. Live this Wednesday afternoon. It's the 26th of April. Thanks for tuning us in. After reviewing the movie The Promise with Pastor Ted Giese, Terry Mattingly will join us to talk about a Muslim spokesperson who was communed at an Episcopal Mass and how those things get covered in the media. Joy Pullman of The Federalist will join us after that to talk about transgender ideology and sex. And then listener email for the second hour of the program. We'll be going through your email and responding to as much of it as we possibly can. You can join us with questions or comments over the next 2 hours, 1-877-623-MY-IE, 877-623-6943. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, Twitter @issuesetc. And you can also contact us via the Issues Etc. listener comment line, 618-223-8382. Joining us to review the movie The Promise, Pastor Ted Giese. He has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. And he taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity in the Movies, A Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. Ted, welcome back.
Thanks, Todd.
You say the film is timely. Why is that?
Well, you'd mentioned that it was set during World War I, the beginning of World War I in the Ottoman Empire. And it's about the Armenian genocide. And the Armenians are, a lot of them were killed at that time. But it's part of the Armenian, Orthodox Church. So these are Oriental Orthodox. So not exactly Eastern Orthodox, but they're their own kind of Orthodoxy, you know, from an earlier point of time. So they were living within a Muslim majority country, and they were a minority Christian group, and they were being exterminated. And I think that it's timely because even now there are places in the world, in the Middle East particularly, where you have minority Christians who are being killed by the Muslim majority. So there's a timeliness to it. It's actually fairly surprising that the movie is made and is available to be watched. And I think when you're watching the movie itself, like if you're sitting in the theater watching it, you start to think some things through. Like, what is your own personal plan or your family's plan should all of a sudden you be in the minority as Christians and the government makes you illegal? What is the plan? What do you guys have as a plan as a family? I think that that's the kind of question that could come up as you watch the movie.
It's also a love story. How is that?
Well, it's a love story like this. It's a historical drama. So, in fact, I think this might be the best way for people to kind of put it together. There's that movie Titanic. Practically everybody of a certain age probably saw that movie. If you're younger, you might not have seen it. But it's a historical thing. So there really was a ship, the Titanic. It hit an iceberg and sunk, and there was the captain of the ship and all that. But the love story in the movie Titanic, that's completely fictional. So what you have here in The Promise is this fictional love triangle with these characters set against the actual events or the actual like backdrop of the Armenian genocide in 1915 during the beginnings of World War I. So hopefully that kind of makes it, kind of puts it together. So yeah, there's this love story in there, but it's not, these aren't specific historical characters that are people you could go look up and find out more about. They're fictional, but the story itself, the backdrop of the story is real events.
You said that it's surprising that the movie even got made and is available to watch. Go into a little more detail why you find that surprising.
Well, I think, first of all, just on the surface, I think it's surprising because at this time, you know, you don't find a lot of media that's critical of Muslim activity in the world. You just, you know, there people tend to shy away from that. And, you know, if somebody draws a cartoon, there's marches and there's people get killed. I mean, like, it's a rough world to live in. You know, even like if you write something like the Satanic Verses or something like that, then there's a fatwa on your head. So people tend not to make things that challenge a narrative that is powerful within the Muslim world. They tend not to. So that's one of the reasons why it's surprising. The other reason is that there's a distinct desire not to acknowledge that this genocide happened on the part of the Turkish government. So historically, the Ottoman Empire didn't want to say that it happened. The modern Turkish government doesn't want to own up to it. They're not acknowledging that it happened. So, and they have squelched in the past attempts to make movies about it, and not as many movies about this or TV programs or documentaries or books, you know, have come out about this as, let's say, compared to the Jewish Holocaust. Like, there are lots of movies like Schindler's List and, you know, like Sophie's Choice and all sorts of things that delve into the Jewish Holocaust of the Second World War, way less about the Armenian Holocaust, the Armenian genocide of the First World War. And it boils down to things like this. You know, like they, in the review that I wrote, I quote a piece from the from Variety, where Variety magazine, where the it's being reported in there that back when this movie got released on September 11th, 2016, which is kind of an interesting date to release something like this, when it was released, it had only like played maybe in three different movie theaters. And on IMDb, which is the Internet Movie Database, there's a feature where you can go in and like rate the movie. And they had over 70,000 people rate the movie as a one star for the film. Well, there's not even 70,000 seats. So what it looks like is that the Turkish government perhaps had people go in and rate it, or individuals went in and rated it as a one rating, even though they'd never seen it, just because of the topic itself. So the casual observer who just flips along and checks IMDb for the rating and sees, well, you know, do people like this movie? Do they not like the movie? Should I go to it? Should I not go to it? It's being skewed in a direction to make it look like it's a bad movie. And that's because there are people who don't want you to see the movie. So it's a very strange thing. There's something bigger than the movie itself going on connected to the movie itself.
So this it's possible, and given what you said, they're distinctly possible that either the Turkish government or people who are sympathetic to that just simply don't want people to know that there was a 1915 Armenian genocide. And so they're kind of panning the movie. Aside from those ratings there, what's the story that it tells in the context of the genocide?
Well, the fictional story is about a young man from a small Armenian town. His name is Michael, and he's played by Oscar Isaac, who some people might remember from the recent Star Wars movies. The Force Awakens, he plays Poe Dameron, the pilot. Anyways, Oscar Isaac plays this guy, Michael, and he's an apothecary, and he wants to go to Constantinople to study medicine so he can bring modern medicine back to the Armenian people, the people of his area that he lives in. So he goes there, and while he's there, he meets, you know, students at the medical school. One of them is a Muslim guy who becomes kind of a friend of his. He also meets this expatriate Armenian girl named Anna, who's been traveling through Europe with her father, but her father committed suicide, so she's back in Turkey. And then also her boyfriend, who is an Associated Press reporter, Chris Myers, played by Christian Bale. And Anna is played by Charlotte Le Bon. So these three characters really make up the main characters of the film. And as you follow their lives, you know, you kind of trace the path of the Armenian genocide. So you have the Associated Press reporter who's trying to get the story out about this back to New York City, back to the world, so people know that it's happening. You have you have Anna, who's kind of fluctuating back and forth, loves both of these men, and they both love her, and there's a story there. Plus, also, she's trying to, at one point, get orphaned children, Armenian children, out of the country as the genocide is unfolding. And then you have the Michael character who takes his own path along the way. The movie The Promise is based on, you know, a promise that he made. He took a dowry of 400 gold coins to go study medicine, and then he was going to come back and marry the girl for whom the dowry he took. So he was going to marry this girl and carry on with his life. So he has to kind of keep that promise, and then the promise itself kind of morphs into something bigger as well, and really about the survival of the Armenian people.
Now, this is one of those films that will be probably at least considered for an Oscar. Do you think so? I mean, it was well received at the various film festivals where it's played. That usually kind of is the genesis of such discussion. What do you think?
Well, Terry George, who made the film, people might remember him from Hotel Rwanda. And Hotel Rwanda, starring Don Cheadle, was a very acclaimed movie. And that, too, was a movie about a genocide. It was the Tutsi genocide in 1994 in Africa, in Rwanda. But somehow I don't know that this movie is going to end up shortlisted for the Oscars. I mean, there's a couple things that are going sort of against it. One thing is that it's a very restrained movie. So it doesn't really go for the cheap, ramped up drama. It's very subtle in the way that it unfolds its drama. Its love story zigs where you're going to expect it to zag. So, you know, compared to Hollywood love stories kind of thing, love triangles. So that's that in and of itself, because it's such an even tempered telling of the story, that might be something. It's a strength of the movie itself, but it may be something that is not, you know, it's not as flashy as Hollywood always wants, I guess, would be one thing. And the other thing is that I don't think Hollywood currently has the stomach to promote a film like this, just because of the nature of, you know, the whole, you know, it shows this genocide that occurred at the hands of Muslims against Christians. And I don't know that that's a story that Hollywood's going to embrace at the Oscars at the moment, even though it's an actual factual historical story.
Finally then, Ted, what should Christian viewers be looking for in this film, The Promise?
Well, when they're watching the film, I think that it's good to watch for the way that pastors and priests show up in the film itself. They're really living out their vocation in a very positive manner. I think that's a really good thing for people to watch for in the movie. They're not inciting violence. They're there in the midst of violence and trouble, you know, consoling people. They're doing weddings and funerals and all of that kind of stuff, which is just really wonderful. Like, this is something to see where often you see movies where pastors and priests are presented very poorly, and this is not one of them. The other thing is the very positive nature in which revenge/vengeance is portrayed. The whole thing is, it really boils down to this phrase, and you heard it at the beginning of the segment here: our revenge will be to survive. So our revenge isn't to kill other people. They're putting it all into God's hands and living their lives and surviving in the midst of it. That is, you know, something really good about the film itself that I think that people should look at for, like Christians should look for. The vocation of the sword does show up in it. You've got a French admiral and you've got the American ambassador to Turkey who show up in it. And they're utilizing their role within the vocation of the sword to save and help other people. And that's really good. So you get both sides of it. It's not, you know, it's not a weak presentation of all of it. It's very well-rounded. So I think those are the kinds of things that people want to be watching for as Christians. And the other thing to remember is the film's not, it's not gratuitously violent. It's not, there's no, like, not nudity in it or anything like that. The strong language is minimal. So it's not the sort of thing that would be, there aren't things in the movie that would cause people not to recommend it to others. So I think that Christian viewers should, in the midst of, you know, all the racing cars and, you know, aliens from outer space, should really consider watching this movie. A, because people maybe don't want you to see it, and B, because by seeing it, you're sending a message to people about what you actually want to see, like movies about topics that might be interesting to you.
You can read Pastor Ted Giese's review of The Promise under the Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org. Pastor Ted Giese has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. And he taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity in the Movies, A Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. Ted, thank you very much for being our guest.
Thank you.
We're going to be talking with Terry Mattingly on the other side of the break, author of the weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate, about a Muslim spokesperson who communed at an Episcopal Mass.
And we're going to have a ball just like we always do. Saturday night at the movies, who cares what picture you see?
When a Christian woman is critical of her own flesh, she holds her Creator in contempt.
Rose Adel, from her new book, Ladylike, Living Biblically.
Our Heavenly Father knit us together in the womb. He did not do a bad job. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. Psalm 139:14. That goes for everyone, including the one who thinks she's the ugliest of them all.
You can purchase and download Concordia Publishing House's new audiobook, Ladylike, Living Biblically, at Amazon, Audible, and iTunes.
This is Pastor Clint Poppy, Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Lincoln, Nebraska, proud supporter of Issues Etc. Each month we host the Nebraska Lutherans for Confessional Study, a serious study of Lutheran theology. We generally meet on the fourth Thursday of each month from 9:30 to 2:30, and both clergy and laity are invited. There is no charge to attend. For more information, please call the church office or visit our website, goodshepherdlincoln.org, and click on the green NLCS tab.
Lutheranism in the public square. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Tired of mommy bloggers telling you Lent is about simplifying your life? Totally over the History Channel speculating on whether or not Jesus' skin was olive or white? Check out the April the Lutheran Witness. We're talking Lent, Easter, and Jesus, who hangs on a cross for you, lies in a tomb for you and is risen and returning all for you. Visit cph.org/try-Lutheran-witness for a special offer of 6 issues for $6.99. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran perspective.
Your pastor has been called to shepherd you as a member of Christ's flock. Doxology offers an innovative program of advanced study retreats where your pastor can be refreshed, renewed, and refocused. Find out more at doxology.us. Many pastors report that doxology has been one of the most valuable learning experiences since seminary. Doxology, the Lutheran Center for Spiritual Care and Counsel. Doxology.us. Doxology.us.